Hi, this is Jonathan Paley of the Nervous Eaters, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes when we hear a piece from Johan Johansson's second Oscar-nominated soundtrack. Composer Paul Lansky deals with his inner voices, and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra jams live and loud in Havana. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Shannon Greer Photography in Brooklyn, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Deborah Bruno reports in the Washington Post about her family's history with slavery in Greene County. Greene County historian Sylvia Hassenkopf, who lives in Cairo, helped with her research. Slavery in New York lasted for nearly 200 years, ending with the Gradual Emancipation Act of 1799, which allowed it to continue for about 30 more years. During their research, they found Eleanor Meyer, a woman with slave ancestors in the Coxsackie in the Baltimore area. In Coxsackie's Riverside Cemetery, they find a tombstone from one of Meyer's slave-born relatives that reads, Mary Vanderzee, 1801-1907. Meyer told Bruno that, quote, people don't understand. Slavery is a thread going through generations. It has affected every generation. Bruno also found that New York's history of slavery has only been taught in public schools since about 2016 as a small part of the seventh grade social studies curriculum, according to Dennis Maika, education director of the New Netherland Institute and a former high school teacher. Individual schools, though, can decide for themselves to include the slavery history or not. Read more about this story in the Washington Post. Nora Mishenick is reporting for Columbia Greene Media that the attorney for Harold Handy, the victim of an alleged assault July 5th at a Kinderhook residence, called for a fair and unbiased investigation into the incident that occurred nearly 3 weeks ago. So far, no arrests have been made. Paul Freeman with the Freeman Howard Law Firm in Hudson said July 24th, so-called insiders should not be subject to special treatment from the Columbia County Sheriff's Office during the course of its investigation into the assault. Quote, it is Harold Handy's hope and prayer that insiders do not get special treatment and that justice will be served, unquote, Freeman said. The statement marks the first time Handy's attorney has spoken publicly about the alleged assault, which occurred at the property owned by Kinderhook business owner Alex Rosenstrock at 3193 County Route 21, where he lives with his wife, Kelly Briscoe Rosenstrock, a Columbia County Sheriff's deputy. Handy is cooperating, quote, in every way, unquote, with investigators, Freeman added. Quote, Harold Handy was unquestionably the victim of a completely oppressive and avoidable series of criminal acts, and our firm is working directly with investigators in the district attorney's office to provide any details necessary to bring those involved to justice, unquote, Freeman said. Freeman did not provide any details on his client's physical condition. The attorney was retained to assist with both the criminal investigation and to pursue civil damages on behalf of Handy. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that sales tax revenue for local government statewide decreased by 27.1% in the second quarter of 2020, according to a report released July 24th by New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Local governments collected $3.3 billion in sales tax during the period of April through June, a drop of $1.2 billion from the same period in 2019. The loss of sales tax occurred as a result of the state's economic shutdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, although there was a glimmer of hope in June, second quarter tax figures show how deep the COVID-19 pandemic is cutting into municipal finances, unquote, DiNapoli said. Quote, collections are down markedly, especially in New York City, revealing the effect of the pandemic on consumer behavior. We'll be watching July closely to see the impact of the phased-in openings in different regions, unquote. Another pandemic stimulus package that could include direct aid to local governments affected by the crisis is currently under consideration by the federal government. In the meantime, local governments could see budget cuts of up to 20%. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Kennessee Crow II is reporting for the Times Union that Republican Rensselaer Mayor Michael Stammel vetoed July 24th more than $334,000 in spending increases the city's Common Council approved as part of the city's 2020-2021 budget. The Common Council is a majority Democrat group. The largest spending item rejected by Stammel was a $256,000 allocation to the city fire department. Quote, the Common Council has adopted a risky budget that uses one-time revenue from the recent sale of city-owned properties to create three new positions in the fire department. There will be no money to pay for those positions next year, especially as revenues continue to shrink, unquote, Stammel said in a statement. He referred to the council's actions as a repeat of past mistakes that would set the stage for greater financial hardship next year. Common Council President John DeFrancesco said the veto is under review and that the items removed from the fire department budget are set by contract. The city of Rensselaer, mayor, and the Common Council have a rancorous relationship. They remain engaged in a court battle over which of two private companies should be the city's designated first responder for ambulance service. The Common Council on July 15th adopted a $14.41 million budget that cut expenditures by 7.82% over the previous year. Read more about this story in the Times Union and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Sunday with a high of 88 and a low around 68. Then it gets really hot on Monday, high of 92, with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., otherwise mostly sunny and again very hot. Monday night, there's still a 20% chance of showers. It'll be partly cloudy otherwise with a low around 70. And then on Tuesday, there's a 50% chance of rain. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 87 and a low around 62. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 GHz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer 2.4 GHz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Claire in Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Yeah. I love books. Do you love books? Books are great. Read more books. Listen to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Hooray!
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I'm 15 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Ashuda, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Fatia, and I'm also from Hudson, and I'm 6 years old.
Hi, I'm AJ. I'm 9, and I live in Elizaville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Woohoo!
Books we love.
Books we don't love so much.
And bookish things! Finally, get to say that. I've been waiting for so long.
And we're usually here with our friends Amelia and Lena, but they are not here today. So we wish them all the best and hope they read lots of good books this week. But we're going to talk about some books, too.
Remember the last radio show? I remember the last radio show.
You remember it? Mm-hmm. Me too. Do you want to start us off, Fatia?
Only one that I made.
You made a drawing?
She read a book called Rainbow Cake.
Huh.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I just want to eat the rainbow cake now.
So I know Fatia is really into rainbows, and I know, I think it was 2 weeks ago, AJ shared a book all about cakes. So this book that you found fits right into the things we like.
And then do you want to tell her like what different kind of, I think it was like rainbow cake, crazy cake. Like It was the title of that book. And do you want to tell her like what kind of crazy cakes there are?
There's like a lot of cakes. Like that's crazy. There's like, I saw one, like a picture in my mind, like a bird cake. Like so it's halfway. It's like the other side is green and the next side is white. And so I have something to tell you.
What's that?
Did you know that I do art stuff, like artist things? Now my sister is like going there to show you now.
There was something you wanted to show in the book?
So, Fatia, if you want to say, like, that's the book she wrote that's called Crazy Cakes, and that, like, there are different types of crazy cake that they might not look like cakes. So, like,
so it looks like a peacock. So this was an online book that you read? Is that where you read most of your books, Fatia?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because I read 3 books today. I read 3 books.
Oh, great.
I read 3 books to my little brother.
Oh, that's nice. So I actually have a book that sort of ties into your rainbow cake book, because I read a book that is about a young baker. It's called From the Desk of Zoe Washington by Janae Marks. And it's about a young girl named Zoe Washington who is an avid baker. She wants to go on a Food Network show that I don't know if it actually exists in real life, but that's a kids baking show. That's like her dream, is to go on that show and win and get a cookbook deal so that she can share her cooking, baking creations with the world. And it's summertime and school's ended. It's summer break. One of her best friends is off at camp. Another one of her best friends is currently a former best friend because she's unhappy with him. And she wants to try out for the show. And her parents set her up with an internship at a bakery so that she can learn how the baking world works in real life and explore that. And if she does a good job, then they'll let her try out for the show. And then meanwhile, she celebrates her 12th birthday and she's hoping to get a card from a relative in the mail, so she checks the mail, and she finds a letter addressed to her that is from a prison inmate named Marcus. And Marcus is her birth father, who went to jail for a horrible crime, and she's never interacted with him. And this is the first letter she's ever received from him. But she opens the letter, and it's clear that there's other letters that have been written to her. And so she decides to secretly get back in touch with him, and it starts a sort of pen pal relationship with her and her father, where they're writing back and forth, and she's learning about her dad, and he's learning about her. And one of the things that he says in one of the letters, because she asks him what he did, and he lets her know that he's actually innocent of the crime. But since she's never met him before, she doesn't know if she can trust him. And so she really wants to try to find out if he was innocent. And if he was, of course, she wants to help him get out of prison. So she secretly goes on a mission with the former best friend, teams up with her to help her with her research. And so she tries to figure out whether or not she can prove that he's innocent or not. So it has a lot of interesting stuff going on. So there's like the baking aspect and her internship, and then her relationship with her dad, and also her sort of sleuthing to try to find out if she can prove he's innocent or not. And it's a very nice book, but it has lots of cupcakes in it. So ties in with rainbow cakes. They actually make, she thinks about making a tie-dye cake, which I've never heard of before. And then she ends up inventing a cupcake that uses Fruit Loops.
I know how to make a tie-dye cake. So if you're talking about the outside, then you take a bunch of different kinds of frosting colors and then you swirl them together so that it looks like tie-dye, and you leave some of the white vanilla frosting out. Or if it's the inside, you do it while you're baking the layers of the cake so that when you cut into it, it's tie-dye.
Cool. Sounded really fun. It made me want to bake, but it was too hot yesterday.
Yeah, this story is like Miles Morales about baking.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because, like, Miles Morales, his uncle, is in jail, and he needs to save his uncle. And then it's, like, something, like, about this story. This bar is about baking.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, it was a very nice book. I listened to it on audio over the weekend. It was a nice read, but I'm sure it's great in print, too. It would be cool if they had a recipe for the cupcakes in the book. Our copy is out at the library, so I wasn't able to check. But I love when there's books that feature food that also have recipes in them. I think that's really fun.
Can I share something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I have two things to share. One, it's a book. And two, it's a book that I wrote, the rest of it. And so I'm going to read a chapter, chapter 11. So far, there are four main characters, me, D, Roger, D, and KJ. And five, there's also Nico. How could I forget that? And I'm going to read a clip of it. Oh, and they were also battling a monster, but it was too late. Ah, yelled KJ as she was thrown about with one of the monster's long, goopy arms. Zap! The monster let go, much to everyone's relief. Go, Nico! Hiya! He hits the monster with all his might. Here's a bat! Meaty froze and wanted to use it. Screamed the monster on the ground. We won! No! Says Meaty as she blocked the hit. Never say that! Okay, got the message, said DD as she flew it out of reach of one of the monster's arms. Attacking. Attack! Pow! Slam! Blast! Pow! Everyone was attacking with glee. Okay, now we need to check our work, so let's step back for a minute. They all step back and look at the mess they made. Rocks are everywhere, commented KJ, looking around. I can't even recognize this place. Me neither, remarked Roger. Well, where is Think? Behind you! Yelled Beatty, pointing. It was like her eyes were popping out of her sockets. Aye! They all yelled and ran away. So that was the clip, chapter 11.
What's the story about? Oh. I mean, clearly it's an adventure.
So there's this person who's magical and has a magical family, and she meets KJ, Roger, DD, and Nico when Nico and Roger were doing football, and KJ and DD were in the stands because they were friends and KJ's brother was in it. And then they ended up meeting her because she had to stop time to get them to help fight the monster. Literally stop time. Everyone was frozen. Even the sun was still in place in the sky. The world wasn't rotating anymore. It was night for all the time that they were fighting.
Oh, sounds like an exciting story. What was the other book that you wanted to share?
Nothing's Fair in Fifth Grade by Martha De Clements. It's about, I'll just read the back. Your teacher is too strict, bouncers are too hard, and the most disgusting girl in the school has the seat next to yours. Nothing's fair. Jenny knows one thing for sure. Elsie Edwards is a fat thief who steals people's lunch money to buy candy. So when the book club money disappears, why is the whole class punished? Nothing's fair. But soon Jenny realizes some things aren't fair for Elsie either. Elsie's on a strict diet, but when she starts losing weight, her mother won't buy her new clothes. Instead, she plans to send Elsie to boarding school. Suddenly, everybody wants to help Elsie. Nothing's fair in fifth grade, but sometimes things get better. It's a very funny story. I've read it 1,000 times.
What grade are you in?
Fourth, going into fifth. I hope this isn't true.
I remember when I was a kid, there were a lot of books.
Is it true, anybody? Is this true? Fifth grade's horrible? Is it?
I think it depends on the person and the school and the group of people in that school. I think I liked fifth grade. I'm sure there were things I didn't like about it, but I don't remember any particular grade being horrible. I was less excited about because I was ready to move on to ninth grade to high school. But our grades were different than they are here in Hudson because we had middle school was fifth through eighth and then ninth to 12th was high school. I think it's different here. Although I know everything changed recently, like in the past year, but that sounds fun. Did you read the whole thing? It was a good book?
500 times I read it.
500 times? It's a lot of times. You're getting ready for fifth grade, huh?
No, I swear, that's the exact amount of times that I did read it.
Picturing AJ makes little marks on the wall after each read.
Oh. Very funny, no, I just keep track in my head.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. How about Fahim?
I haven't read this book yet, but I'm about to. It's called Ghost Boys by Joel Parker Rhodes. He is also the author of Palace Falling. This is a mini description. Description. So only the living can make the world better, live and make it better. 12-year-old Jerome is shot by a police officer who mistakes his toy gun for a real threat. As a ghost, he observes the devastation that has been unleashed on his family, his friends, Frank Carlos, and his community in the wake of what they see as an unjust and brutal kill. Jerome meets another ghost, Emmett Till. Emmett helps Jerome process what has happened on a journey toward recognizing how historical racism may have led to the events that ended his life. Jerome also meets Sarah, the daughter of the police officer, who grapples with her father's actions. This basically shows like how past events, like past historical racist events, have come to the future, like to the present right now, and to the people who are like the present generation and the future generation can fight to end this like racism.
That sounds like an interesting book. I haven't read her before, I don't think, but she's written a number of books that are well reviewed. So what made you pick out that book?
It's about what's happening right now.
Sounds good. Look forward to hearing what you think. So how about Mashuda? Do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. So again, I didn't read this book, but I came across a book as I was working in the Hudson Air Library's nonfiction shelf. Like I came across a really good books like, you know, that's talking about death or like viruses and other historic events. I don't think it's in the library, but I came across in my phone, How to Survive a Pandemic. And I think it was published last year by Michael Greger. He's a doctor, MD. And it's like talking about like, he's also like New York best-selling author and also an author of like How Not to Die. He wrote about like how there was like disease of like the Black Death, AIDS, how that was an epidemic and now like coronavirus, COVID-19 is a pandemic and how it affects humans and our interaction with each other and also our interaction with animals. And there's always going to be like myths and what's like and true about it because like he's talking about like how in Black Death and, you know, AIDS, there was myths that and that humans didn't know, like a lot of famous doctors didn't know. It's the same thing's happening with COVID and how that's affecting people. And also like I wrote like other few articles, I think it was by Bill Gates, that he was warning a lot of like people like this world that we're not ready for the next epidemic or pandemic. Because, you know, when Ebola came in, we weren't ready because we didn't have it didn't hit that much. You know, a disease just hits people suddenly and then we are not prepared for it. But we were lucky COVID-19 did. So I'm excited to find this book and read it.
It's another timely book. You and Fahim with the timely reads. Not that rainbow cakes aren't timely, because rainbow cakes are for every time, always. Right, Fatia?
I have something to tell you. Like, there's a white plain book, and then I colored in.
Nice.
I colored like rainbow. And at the back, too.
Yeah, so we have both you and AJ make books. It's pretty cool. We have two, one primarily an illustrator, and I think AJ is primarily an author.
Well, mine is actually almost done. I'm on chapter 12, and it's almost the end.
When you started writing, did you just start, or did you...
Well,
like
actually,
it
the
out.
Funny part about this, well, I actually just add along as I go, but the funny part about it is I actually had an ELA assignment and they told me to write a short story about it, but then I started adding twists and turns that it eventually turned into the book that I told you about.
Oh, cool. So it was originally planned to be a shorter version, but then you just kept going. So do you know where it's going to end? I mean, don't tell us, but... Do you know?
No, actually, I just...
So just know when it comes?
Uh-huh.
Cool. It's very exciting. So is there anything anyone's particularly excited for this week?
Well, actually, my friend just moved in from the city, and soon we're going to be able to go near her without masks, like tomorrow.
Nice. That'll be fun. It's good getting to see people. So Fahim, what are you excited for this week?
Probably reading the Zork Gospels and probably getting to like the Miles Morales comic book. There's a chapter book in the comic book. Have you read the chapter book? I'm just trying to read.
Great. I actually have no idea what I'm most excited for this week. I haven't thought that far ahead, but I do have a lot of great books that I'm excited to read. So I have at least that. And I'm excited to keep working with Mashuda and Fahim. And sometimes during story hour, I hear AJ in the background. So that's fun. Your voice echoes through the library. And I'm like, it's AJ.
Wait, he's at the library? Yeah.
Through the computer, we hear her sometimes. But we're just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone has a great week and reads lots of great books and has lots of fun safely. Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Deixo bater das asas a correnteza. Deixa, deixa. Deixa beijar o ar na beira da praia. Deixa. Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Good day, all. This is Michelle Masurgeon from the Upstate Housing Program. My guest today is Kirsten Keefe, Senior Attorney and Program Director for HOP Anchor Partner Program at the Empire Justice Center. Welcome, Kirsten.
Thank you so much for having me again.
So back in March 2020, Governor Cuomo and the New York State Department of Financial Services urged all lenders and mortgage servicers to not require mortgage payments to be made for 90 days or through June 19th. And HUD, which is a federal agency, announced that no foreclosure actions could be started on FHA-insured mortgages until at least May. Both of these, the federal and the New York Chartered Bank loans, don't reach all mortgage loans held by individuals. So what do you see happening in the next 3 to 6 months when it comes to, you know, mortgage protections?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and we really don't know. So one thing to note is that the deadlines that were in the original orders have been extended. So currently, for the New York State-owned mortgages, the executive order was extended until August 20th. And then the federal protections requiring forbearance agreements on FHFA and FHA loans have been extended into September. So anybody who is currently behind should be automatically getting a forbearance agreement if they request it with their bank. Again, if it's a New York State chartered bank or an FHA or a loan held by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. With that said, there are still a lot of mortgages that these protections do not cover. You know, a regular mortgage held by Chase might not be an FHA loan or a loan that's a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. But I will say that I think generally the mortgage lenders and servicers have been just automatically giving folks forbearance agreements. The big question, though, and really what you asked, is what's going to happen at the end of these forbearance agreements? And there is still a lot of discussion going on the federal level, trying to institute some streamlined processes to help people who have these forbearance agreements. It's not definitive whether or not the banks will require a lump sum payment at the end of the forbearance agreement. I can't imagine that, because people just won't be able to pay it, or whether they will just tack the payments that they haven't paid for the last 5-6 months, assuming that they can start making their regular mortgage payments again, you know, whether or not the lender will tack those payments onto the end of the loan term. Or, you know, the third option would really be doing some sort of loan modification. And then the big question is, what are they going to do for folks who are still not employed or re-employed and can't make those payments? You know, we're hoping for some sort of streamlined process. The federal government did react back in 2008 with a streamlined process. Again, 2008 being the wake of the financial crisis with the subprime mortgages. So we're still hoping that there are some streamlined processes put in place.
What about what's happening with the U.S. Census pulse polling? What are you seeing coming out of that?
So I recommend, if anybody's curious, you know, they do this pulse polling on a variety, on food insecurity and health and a variety of things. It's very interesting. It's all self-reporting, so it's not definitive numbers as to what's going on out there. But I've been watching it in terms of, they do ask folks about missing mortgage payments. And as of May, 14% of New Yorkers who reported that they had missed their last mortgage payment. But what is very alarming is that when you break it down by race, and I really have just been looking at white homeowners in New York State who have mortgages and Black and brown homeowners in New York State who have mortgages. But when you break it down by race, 11% of white homeowners said that they missed their last payment, which is a very high number, I will just say. It's far higher than I think we saw in the wake of the financial crisis over a decade ago. But 35% of Black and brown homeowners who reported said that they had missed their last payment. And again, these are homeowners who have mortgages on their homes. That is an incredibly alarming amount. And it just, you know, speaks to the conversation that has been you know, since COVID and certainly pre-COVID, but COVID has been disproportionately impacting Black and Brown communities in many, many different ways. And certainly mortgage and home ownership issues is one of those ways that those communities are being very disproportionately impacted.
So the HOP program, or the Homeowner Protection Program, which is a network of housing, counseling, and legal services programs who work to help protect, you know, homeowners in New York State, what's the status of the funding for the program?
So, right, so HOP, the Homeowner Protection Program, is funded through the Office of the Attorney General in New York State, and they run and oversee the program. And if we did get continued funding through the New York State Legislature, which was very great. And so the groups have continued to provide funding. I'm sorry, the groups have continued to provide services through the pandemic and will continue to do so because of the funding from the New York State Legislature. There are housing counseling and legal services available to homeowners in every county of New York State. We have a total of 85-86 across New York State. You know, they provide many levels of assistance, starting with just providing basic advice and information for folks who are behind on their mortgages, or for folks who think they might fall behind and what should they do. They provide, you know, up to assistance in the legal process and representing homeowners who ultimately face foreclosure.
The legislative testimony that was put out in May by the Empire Justice System also mentioned how HOP services is an access to justice issue, quote, an issue of fairness. It is rural, small town, and a small city issue. Can you expound on that and how the pandemic has exacerbated access to service? And even like seniors, are they having a hard time too?
Yeah, so I think everybody is having a hard time, obviously. I'll say with the housing counseling and legal services programs, they have not been receiving calls from homeowners through the pandemic. And I think there are two main reasons for that. One, the housing counseling and legal services programs are very well connected at this point in time with our court system. So there are mandatory settlement conferences that bring the homeowner together with the lender in every residential foreclosure case on a primary residence. And that is always, it has always been a key moment in time where homeowners are connected with servicers. And the settlement conferences haven't been happening, you know, since the pandemic. The court shut down for the most part, and settlement conferences have not been happening. And they've started to do settlement conferences now virtually, but not in new cases. Another reason is all homeowners on a residential mortgage foreclosure, once they fall behind, a lender is supposed to send a notice to the homeowner at least 90 days before they file a foreclosure, referring the homeowner to the housing counseling agencies in their region. And they have to give the contact information. During the pandemic, those notices have not been sent. The lenders just stopped sending them, I think, for a variety of reasons. So those were two main channels that homeowners were aware of the HOP services. What I would love to say to your listeners and your viewers is, please get the word out that homeowners really, you know, the sooner they get in, the better. Even if they're in a forbearance agreement and they feel okay for the time being, they need to start thinking about what's going to happen at the end and get connected with those servicers. So in the Capital Region, we have Affordable Housing Partnership in Albany, Better Neighborhoods in Schenectady, Trip in Troy, Albany County Rural Housing, Galvin Housing Resources in Columbia County. They're the main ones. United Tenants is part of the network. And of course, Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York and the Legal Project. So if you're a homeowner, you know, if you only caught one of those names, our agent, we have a Home Save Coalition here in the Capital Region. You can just, you know, connect with any one of them. And if they're not the right agency, they can make a direct referral for you.
Do you have a website where people can get information? Is there a listing where all these agencies are?
So I believe the Home Save Coalition does have a website maintained by the Affordable Housing Partnership, but there is also a hotline for HOP, and that it's a statewide hotline. So anybody across the state, any homeowner can call this, and then they will get directly referred to the proper agency. So that hotline number is 1-855-HOME, H-O-M-E, 456. 855-466-3456.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to have to wrap up here. I thank you, Kirsten, for your time today, and stay safe.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and this is Michelle Masurgian for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
The Catskill Village Board voted on July 22nd to end all displays and messages in the village. They took that action just before a debate on an All Lives Matter mural on Main Street, and after they announced on June 30th that they weren't allowing a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street. Here's Catskill Village President Vincent Seeley and his statement about the issue, and then we'll hear from Joe Izzo, who proposed the All Lives Matter mural, and then callers who repeated the word disappointed about the board's original decision to not allow the Black Lives Matter mural.
After a lengthy discussion with our attorney, the Conference of Mayors, and as well as other consultants, we will not be approving any message, political or otherwise, to be displayed on any village street, which includes banners as well as murals. If we were to allow this, it brings up issues and concerns of equal protection and our First Amendment. So basically, let me kind of say that. That was kind of my official statement, me reading from, you know, a piece of paper. But basically what that means is we are not, as a board, we are the stewards of all village property. So in other words, we are elected and we make the decision on things that happen with the village, the taxpayer-owned property here. Being the stewards of that property, we feel that we, at this particular time, we do not want to display any message, whether it be a mural on the street or any message that's on a banner. Now, the only exception to that would be that if the village has a message they want to put up, or if a village has an event that they are sponsoring. So I can give you a couple of examples, but I think everybody on the phone is smart enough to figure out kind of what that means. If it's a village function event, we'll put a sign up. If it's instructional, snow clearing, we have a display sign we're going to be able to put up. There's snow clearing or one side parking and any type of informational thing that we deem necessary on there. But as of right now, we will not be putting up any murals or any banners with any such message on there. So that's that. I do want to open up the board members' lines. You guys can either take yourself off of mute. Let me see who I got first. I just want to make sure that all of you are on there. Give me one second. Man, there's a lot of people on here. This is great. Thank you, everybody, for joining today. This is, you know, what's funny to me, not funny to me, but when we have regular board meetings at the Senior Center, which is right there in Catskill on Academy Street, we look out in the audience sometimes, and quite frankly, there's maybe, you know, five or six non-village employees in there. So it's great to see so many people kind of getting involved and listening to, the trials and tribulations of what we do as a village board in one of these meetings. So I appreciate that. Let me figure out here. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Can you help me take the other board members off? I've got Greg and Joe.
I'm lost, Freddie.
Yep. No, I see you off. Yep.
643-6279.
643-6279. You pop them? Let me see. 679. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. It's going through 60. I'm doing three at a time here, so it's 30 clicks I got to do every time I go up and down this list here. We got this, though.
Am I off mute?
All right. So, Greg, with what I just read, do you have any questions or concerns?
I do not at this time.
Okay. Natasha, with what I just read to the public and the board, do you have any concern?
I do not.
Pete Grassi, with what I just read, do you have any concerns?
No, I do not.
Joe Kozlowski, with what I just read, do you have any concerns?
No, I do not.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on with our regular meeting. And like I said before, we've got a couple things to go through, kind of administrative stuff. then we're going to jump into our work session, and then board comments, and then public comments. So just, again, bear with us, and we will move as efficiently as we can, but we're not going to just speed through some of our work items. They may take a little bit longer, so just bear with us there. So the first item I have up on the official agenda is approved payment of our audited bills. So somebody please make a motion.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
I heard a motion by Greg Smith. I think I heard a second by Natasha. Any further board discussion?
Nope.
All's in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you. All right. Tosh, can you take the next one, please?
I don't have the agenda in front of me.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and do it. I got it. Give me 1 second here. What we'd like to do is I need a motion to approve the hire of Lisa Cope as village clerk in training to start August 3rd, 2020. She will be replacing our awesome clerk, Betsy Cothran, who will be retiring somewhere, in September. The village clerk is, for us, the village clerk is not your typical village clerk in the sense of, in a regular community. Village clerk really would just keep our calendar, maybe set up meetings with us and things like that. Our village clerk really becomes a second to a chief financial officer. They do the budgets. They have a team of clerks in the office. They basically are building managers, if you will, where they manage kind of the village building on 422 Main Street. So our clerk is not just kind of a traditional clerk. So Lisa Cope, we interviewed her. She's got great credentials. Everybody that interviewed her had good things to say about her. She seems to be a great fit for the village. So I'm looking for a motion for somebody to approve the hire of Lisa Cope. All right. Was that you, Greg? Pete. Oh, hey, Pete. I got a motion by Pete Grassi. Looking for a second.
Second.
Second by Joe Kowalski. Any further board discussion?
No.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
No. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you. Welcome, Lisa. Perfect. I know Lisa was on the last call. I'm not sure if she's on this one, but Lisa, if you're on and you want to text me and say a couple words, 518-470-3508 is my cell. If you want to text me, I'll open up your line. All right. Item three on the official agenda was the actual messages on public property. I kind of bumped that up to number one, because I thought that many people that were on the call could have been just on for that reason. So I kind of just wanted to take care of that person if they wanted to jump off, because they weren't interested in the rest of me, and they could. Next up on the agenda is Mr. Izzo. Mm-hmm. Joe, give me 1 second so I can find your line and I can unmute you. I just have to kind of scroll down a little bit here. Greg, do you remember what number that was?
It ends in 5453.
5453-943-5453. Got it. Joe Izzo, can you hear me? And can you just see if we can hear you?
I can hear you.
All right, perfect. You can hear you. So, Joe, with the with the reading of the statement in the beginning and kind of me summarizing it, saying basically we're not putting up any murals or any banners. Do you wish to withdraw? Or do you still want to have this conversation?
I'm comfortable with what the board has decided, that in essence messages that involve either politics or news or other items that are hot topics should not be put up by the village, because I believe strongly that there is a First Amendment right to everybody to have something hung up if, in fact, the board went that way. But I'm happy with the decision the board made, and I'm not going to be making any further requests.
Well, I'd like to answer a question concerning the All Lives Matter request.
Okay. Go ahead.
I certainly agree with the Black Lives Matter organization that there is discrimination for the black community. But the reason I wanted All Lives Matter up is because there are other issues outside of that we need to talk about equality, racial issues with other minorities, even within the white community, where you have Italians and Irish and Jewish people, all at one time discriminated against. And I want to just reaffirm that the reason I wanted that All Lives Matter banner was because was not because I was objecting to the banner for Black Lives Matter, but I also wanted to be able to bring that issue up. And it was not a matter of trying to refute what they wanted to do. It was the fact that I have a different viewpoint, and I wanted to be able to bring up All Lives Matter. And the issue has always been, when you start doing something like this, there is a freedom of speech issue. And it doesn't matter whether it's Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter. It could be any banner. And once a community decides that that's the way they want to go, then they must be fully aware that there will be other issues that will come up that may require a banner being across the Catskill. So I wanted to make sure that people understood where I stood on this issue. I don't belong to any organization. I'm not. I'm an individual person who wanted to have this matter brought up. And as in the matter of police issues, I think that they're going down the wrong path. And I think if we can get together at some point in time, a lot of these issues can be solved. Thank you.
Hello, it's Justin here.
Hey, Justin.
And I just wanted to say that I'm disappointed that I came to the conclusion to not have Black Lives Matter anywhere. And it's a disappointment to me and the Black community because we looked to the village leaders for support, and we just didn't get that for the mural.
And Justin, Jordan here, Justin's brother. And I second that. And I agree, and I would say the statement Black Lives Matter is not